Hey, CineFans, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Slayers podcast. We are doing another little fun bonus episode for you guys. We will be talking about the movie Booksmart, and with me is Jaston and Heather. And as always, we're going to talk about what we liked and didn't like and everything in between with it. So we are going to start it off with Jaston. What did you like about Booksmart?
Well, I think that Booksmart is definitely an appropriate title for this film because smart is definitely something that I kept thinking about as I was going through this film. I mean, this film, you know, it's not like we've been in this type of territory before. If you've seen something like Superbad, if you've seen any of those kind of party movies, one night friendship type of movies where they have this crazy night of fun and it's high school setting and stuff like that, you know, we've driven down this road before, but I really enjoyed this movie way more than I thought that I would. When I saw that this movie was getting high reviews online and different things like that, and the critics were really loving it, and the audience score has been decent, I believe, I was curious. You know, going in, I really didn't have any expectations or anything like that going in. I just kind of came in blind, wasn't 100% sure who was in it or anything like that. I just kind of wanted to take it all in. And man, this film, you know, and Sterling and I have talked about this on other podcasts before, but sometimes you can take a familiar formula, a formula that feels familiar. Even sometimes you can even take cliches within a formula. But if you present those cliches in funny, interesting, and ways that feel fresh, then your movie can succeed and you can still win, even if it's composed of familiar pieces. And that's the best thing that I can say about this movie. This movie is well acted. I thought that most of the actors really brought it here, and even minor characters shine in the few scenes that they have or the few cameos that they have throughout the film. It's really just interesting to see how they got, and really amazing how they got so many cast members to click and make this thing work. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk about Caitlin Dever and Beanie Feldstein. Amy and Molly are two best friends in this. This is not just one of those kind of gender swap movies. Well, let's do this, but with two women. You know, it's got some fresh ideas and some interesting ideas. One of our characters, Dever's character, Amy, is gay. She's a lesbian. So that kind of added an interesting piece to this. Not a piece where they're making fun of people who are homosexual or lesbians or anything like that. The movie is very progressive in that she's got the same a similar journey to her friend Molly, and those journeys are both treated with respect and care, and both of them go on character journeys, and it almost doesn't even matter that that's what she enjoys or that's what she is. And that's one of the things I really loved about that movie. There was definitely a distinction, and there was definitely things that happened to that character, but none of it felt like stupid or contrived or like they were trying to label or make some big statement about it. So I just love that all of this existed within this narrative. But these two girls brought it, man. And I mean, even from the moment of the opening scene where I believe it was Amy that pulls up to pick up Molly and music is blaring, and all of a sudden Amy gets out of her car and she starts dancing to this music, and it's just this really awkward kind of quirky dancing, and Molly joins her as she comes out of the house, and they're both just kind of dancing, and there's this line where one of them is like, are we going to go to school? And then one of the other ones like, no, we're just going to stay right here. And they're just like grooving or whatever, and they just have such chemistry that I was compelled by them right away. Like, it took no work. Like, they just seem to have a natural chemistry. And that chemistry really carries this entire film. So as they're interacting with other students and other characters, that chemistry just grows and grows as the movie progresses. And then, you know, they add some layers and some conflict to their friendship and things like that, that we get in the second and third act. But all of that was done well. Olivia Wilde, who I didn't even realize was the director of this film. So right when it popped up and it said, directed by Olivia Wilde, I was like, oh, wow, cool. I didn't even realize this was her first film. But man, what a great first movie. I mean, it's definitely an A effort for me. And I mean, and like I said, there are familiar pieces here. You know, you've got one of them that likes the jock of the school and he's the popular guy and stuff like that, and kind of seems unattainable for one of our main characters. You've got scenes where there are these weird kind of eccentric type students, and then there are teachers that are cool, but maybe they're a little too cool, or maybe they're kind of quirky and weird in their own way. You know, there are a lot of characters and tropes that you are going to recognize and you are going to notice right away. But this film had a unique way of adding layers to these characters. So not anybody was just what they seemed. The girl that might have been labeled as the person who is kind of like the school whore or whatever, even that character has a turnaround and gets some layers. Things that you thought you knew about their friendship going in, they reveal some things and you come to find out, oh man, there's some things about this relationship that I actually didn't know. So I think that really is the triumph of the movie. Just when I thought I was going to get the same tired old trope, they presented it in a way, they did something with the characters, or a character presented with such charisma. I just found myself enjoying it. Even if I knew what was going to happen, I found myself enjoying this film. And in the end, I thought that the ending was very, in some ways, just kind of very pleasing, very satisfied with the ending and the resolution of this film. And one, and a couple of people just to mention that I wanted to talk about, Lisa Kudrow, which, who doesn't know her from Friends and everything like that? She was great here as one of the parents of one of our main characters in this film. And then there was another lady, and I don't want to forget her because I laughed at her just about any time she was on screen, but Billie Lord, who plays Gigi in this movie. And it was funny because the way they use her in the film is she keeps popping up at different times, or when they go to an address where they think the actual party is going to be, she's somehow there before them. And I mean, she just has she steals scenes with just her energy and her charisma, or she would get one line and it's delivered perfectly. And I just found myself enjoying her every time that she was on screen. And when she would leave or not be around, I'd be looking for her, like, oh, where's that character? I want to see what she's up to again. So needless to say, I just really enjoyed this film. I think it worked for me. And like I said, it's familiar territory. You've been here before, but not in this way, because it's told with such a cleverness and such attention to detail. And these characters feel real. They feel genuine. And this was definitely a good time for me.
Heather, your turn.
Yeah, I do have to say I agree about Gigi. Billie Lord was probably one of the most standout things of this movie. She was just effortlessly funny. She was so random, though. But I loved it because it just worked for the character that she was. And like you were saying about just these layers that they gave them, she even got her own layers. Like the last person you expect to get that. And they gave her that, you know, at the end when they're talking about what a loyal person she is. And then you think back on every scene that she's in and you're like, yeah, that makes total sense. So I totally agree with that. Billie Lord was awesome in this. For me, I do also agree, you know, the friendship chemistry, the dynamic between the two main characters, it really shines. You truly feel like they have been best friends forever and they just get each other no matter how different they are in certain ways. The way they play off of each other's jokes and stories is really entertaining. You just feel like they really are high school girls going to high school together and just, you know, are really each other's team. And it was really cool because it felt realistic, I think, for what high school best friends are. I like the way that the story develops, doesn't feel too over the top, in my opinion. It's not exactly unpredictable, but the way that it develops is done in a fun and slightly different way than what I've seen in other movies. Not totally, but just it was still just really fun. It didn't feel like it was this old familiar, I've seen this a million times, in my opinion. I thought it felt a little different than that. I also like the principal, played by Jason Sudeikis. He's always hilarious to me. And I really loved the part when the girls were like trying to get the pizza guy to take them to the party and how he's like trying to warn them about creepers, but he's also like a creeper himself. It was just a really funny, like the way they did that scene was just really funny to me. And I do also agree that it's a great debut film for Olivia Wilde, directing wise. Specifically, I really like the scene with Amy in the pool when she's swimming around. It was really well shot, and it just kind of stands out in the movie for me above a lot of the other scenes. And the soundtrack with that, the soundtrack throughout the movie is great, but just the music with that shot of her swimming around in the pool before everything gets crazy and goes down. It was a really standout scene, and I really liked it. And another thing that I really, really appreciated about this movie is they never once displayed any sort of body negativity. And I think that's important because it's a movie about females in high school where that's a huge issue. And even when it's them, just like, for example, when they're talking about Molly in the bathroom and they don't know she's there, they never mention anything about being unattracted to her because of her weight or anything like that. They basically, it was all about just talking about her smarts and her brain and that kind of thing. And I just respect that a lot that they did that, because so many other movies can do that easily. Like, they just pull that card, and it's actually harder not to, I feel like. So I appreciated that aspect, and kudos to Olivia Wilde for kind of taking that route with it. She really just ran with the idea that appearance is not what makes a person appealing, you know, and even especially in high school, I mean, they're all kids, and it really kind of shows the beauty is in the eye of the beholder type of thing with a lot of these people, you know. And, you know, she thought that the jock would not be attracted to her and all these things. And it just wasn't even like that in this movie. And it was never once even a factor really that was brought up by anybody. So I really thought that was a cool way to do that. So, but yeah, so for me, I think it was a clever movie. It doesn't feel, like I said, like it's the same thing I've seen over and over. And it drives home that really important sense of friendship between these girls. So for me, as a female specifically, I really like the film a lot.
I'm actually going to disagree with you, Heather, but I do mean it in a good way. I do think that this movie does feel very familiar. It's very, I don't want to say paint by the numbers, but it's very much a formula that we've come to expect from a lot of these movies. And it really does have a lot of cliches in it, and it just really kind of follows the numbers of a lot of those things. And one of those things I do view as a negative, and I'll talk about that later. But the reason why I say I do view that in a positive way is because it does take these cliches, and it does take this formula, and it takes them and it tweaks them in just the right ways to where they feel familiar, but at the same time, they do feel slightly new. And that's a very,
that's a better way to put it.
It's a very, very important thing to do when you're telling a story, is everybody views cliches as a bad thing. And if used right, cliches can make or break something, because they can add that bit of familiarity or that grounding or that just connection that people want in stories. And by just having the right ones, I mean, maybe that's what it boils down to, is having the right cliches for the right moments. You know, like, you know, going into this movie, they're going to be the best of friends and they're going to fall out. They're going to have a huge fallout at some point in this movie. You know, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
because every movie like this has that scene. But they did an amazing job of making it feel right for those characters.
Yeah.
Like, what they were fighting about specifically felt right for the relationship they had shown you in this movie. And it was obvious also that they do, the argument goes on longer, not that it shows, but then you hear, because I think they did the really smart thing of they got the important parts of the argument you heard. And then you just see them venting these emotions and yeah. they drown it out with the music.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Yeah, and I totally agree. And when you hear her, you hear Molly tell Amy, you hear the fuck you. Well, you don't hear it, but you can see, you can make out the words in her mouth. And yeah, that was definitely another standout scene. That was very smart the way they did that and made it, like you said, not seem like just another arbitrary argument between two teens who have no idea or whatever, which is how it kind of comes off sometimes in those other movies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the way they had their falling out, it felt organic to their relationship, and it didn't feel like they just forced it to have that conflict, you know. And I don't know about you guys, but to me, you know, with their respective initial love interests in this movie, it felt fairly obvious that they weren't going to work out. You know, they weren't going to get the ones they were originally pining after and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, the way they twisted those elements, it felt right for this movie. You know, it didn't feel like they were just, you know, doing a sleight of hand or just forcing, you know, that version of conflict into it without, you know, it just being out of place. They did a very good job of keeping these tropes and these cliches in the right moments, in the right spots, and natural for this movie. I do agree with you guys about like the relationships that it showed in this movie. Like those two, like, I mean, you could tell me that they might have just met, you know, when they were like starting to do table reads for this movie or like doing chemistry tests while casting or something like that. But I mean, when you're watching this movie, you actually kind of feel like they've maybe been best friends for 17 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They really do have that type of chemistry with each other. And, you know, especially in those moments when they're just weirdly supportive of each other, or not weirdly supportive, but it just kind of feels like they are kind of two nerdy people. They're trying to sound like kind of hip with each other, but just like when they're just giving each other compliments, and it always starts as like it sounds like it's about to be bad, but then it's just this nonstop stream of compliments back and forth between each other,
like their own little world. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it didn't end up, and I'm so glad it didn't. It didn't end up feeling like a Diablo Cody movie, like Juno, which I did like Juno when it came out and everything like that. But that movie very much only works in a vacuum because people in general don't talk like that, let alone teenagers. And the way they did it in this movie, like, I don't talk like that, and I don't know a lot of people that do talk like they do specifically in the movie, but they did a very good job of making it feel like there are people out there that talk like that.
Yeah,
I see
that. Like, you know, and so that felt good. Like, the, you know, those moments felt true to what they were trying to get across. And I'll say this too. I was really kind of glad. I was getting kind of worried when I was reading some of the reviews and everything beforehand, where people were talking about how like, oh, once again, this is women proving they can do what the boys can do. And I was kind of worried this might end up being like Bridesmaids, which I am not a fan of, as bad as that may sound. Because like Bridesmaids was always billed as like, oh, look, women can do the same humor that the guys do, and it's still good. And when I watch Bridesmaids, I'm like, oh, I don't like it when guys do humor like that in movies. So no, I didn't think that was funny. But in this one, I did. The humor still resonated with me. And so to me, it didn't matter at that point what the gender was. Like, it was good humor. And so yeah. I was really glad that they didn't get stuck in that trope of just being like, oh, look, it's women or female characters just out trying to outmen the men type of movie. You know, they weren't trying to out Superbad with this movie. You know, it very much is the same type of movie as Superbad, but they weren't trying to outdo Superbad at its own game. They did a very good job of making this one its own game.
Yeah.
And yeah, that I really did appreciate with that. And just to kind of mimic what you guys said also, kudos to Olivia Wilde. I mean, this was a spectacular first outing. I'm going to look forward to something she directs now. I really hope it's not a flash in the pan. And I feel like if you know, if she chooses her next project, like it seems like she did with this, I think she's got just an unbelievable and awesome, like, I don't want to say side career, but like extended career as a director. I'd say, I don't want to even say an extended career, but she just has another avenue of working in any way, shape, or form that she wants as a director based on this movie.
And you can tell in this movie that she put so much into it. Like, you could tell she cared so much about the characters in this movie and the relationships in this movie. And it really came across in it. And yeah, I agree. She did a great job.
Yeah. And like you said, Heather, that scene in the swimming pool, it really just kind of reminded me of a music video of somebody in a swimming pool, because that's like a stereotypical like swimming pool shot in a music video. But it worked. It very much fit the moment, in that trying to loosen your inhibitions and just feel the moment. And for, like, no pun intended, diving in. And
yeah,
it really did a good job of portraying that. So, like, very much kudos for that specific shot. And yes, like, in like Jason said, with Billy Lord, like, Gigi was just fun in this movie. Just every time she showed up, it
you knew it was gonna be crazy.
And they did a good job of making each moment you saw her feel like a different moment, which I guess that's what this movie does, I think, better than anything. Is it just, like I said, it does the same things you've seen over and over again. It just, they make it feel right each time. And Gigi did that. You know, every time she beats them to a party or just shows up somewhere or is just randomly playing piano at the graduation. And then the next time it cuts over to her, she's passed out on the piano. Like, it's just every time it goes to her, she's doing something new, but it's still within the realm of that character. The way they establish that character, every time she's doing a new thing that's crazy or a new thing that's different, she's just not a character doing new shit. It's very much, it feels like that's the type of person she is.
And I love how she just didn't, she's definitely a character that everything she does is really just kind of in the moment all the time. Like, she didn't even really know these two girls, the main girls, that well, from what you can tell in the context of the story. But, you know, she just, like, the first time she had an actual conversation with Amy's character, and she's just like, I love you more than anything. Like, she was just like, like, she acted like she had known her for forever and, like, just would give her life for her. And it was just really funny how she was with it. And it worked. It totally worked for who she was. Yeah.
And that drug scene where they're having that weird trip where they're dolls.
Oh, that was great.
I'll admit it here. I've never done drugs or anything like that. I'm a traditionalist. I'm a very high functioning alcoholic. And so that's just never really been my thing. But there was just another thing where it's that same trope of them having a trip, where in a lot of movies they become animated or like claymation in some older movies, or, you know, they go to something. I like the fact that they went to Barbie dolls.
Yeah.
In this. And it went back to what you were talking about earlier, Heather, with like the whole body positivity thing, that they were showing that they still had those struggles within themselves, but they were doing it with Barbie dolls, but while also kind of mocking that stereotypical image of a Barbie doll.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a really fun way. And it just reminded me a lot of the drug scene in Beanie's brother's movie, which, if you don't know, she's Jonah Hill's sister, in 22 Jump Street.
I was just thinking that
when Channing Tatum and him do that drug, and they kind of end up in that cartoon world, and one person's having a good trip and one person's having a bad trip. And it reminded me a lot of that. But once again, it tweaked it enough and made it its own enough to where, you know, I'm very comfortable saying that, you know, they are, while it is reminiscent of the other, it's still very unique for this movie.
And like you said, the fact that it had a message to it, the fact that it was kind of mocking that Barbie image and different things like that, it wasn't just a trip like, oh, this is just going to be a comedy piece that people, like you said, are going to just be familiar with and laugh at it, and then you forget about it. That, even that, had a hidden meaning or complexity behind it. So it really just speaks to Olivia Wilde's direction and the writing on this film. Like, everything just, you just didn't feel like there was much wasted motion. Like, everything kind of had a point. Every person even what you would think is a throwaway character had a point, you know, and that's what's kind of neat about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can really say that of all the characters it focuses on throughout the movie, I really like the fact that it didn't feel like it wasted screen time on a character that didn't have something, you know, it was very economical with how it utilized its characters and giving them all a point for the scenes they were in. You know, that was a very great thing that this movie did, that sometimes I don't want to say like a lower budget movie of this type of movie doesn't always do. They tend to have some throwaway characters. And this one, I didn't feel like they had those. They all kind of had a moment to shine in a good way. And what you were saying, Justin, with the message behind the drug scene and everything like that, it was like a genuinely nice one too, because, you know, you have the character saying, like specifically saying, like, I know this is an unrealistic and a bad point of view, but then she still even kind of liked it though.
Yeah.
And I think that really kind of goes to show that, like, you know, it doesn't matter how like body positive you are, there are times that you might not be, and that plays universally, you know, that you might be a very body positive person when it comes to yourself, but you might still have insecurities at times. And that is a message that can play to anybody. And they do a very good job of demonstrating that within this film.
Yeah. And that kind of reminds me, even that point that you were making, kind of like that AAA character, Molly Gordon, where when, sorry, let me get the right character. Okay. Because her actual name is Molly, but she was riding in the car with the character Molly. But yeah, when she's riding in Molly with the car, and she's kind of telling her the whole story right there, you know, at the end of the day, she was like, yeah, I slept with them, but it's not the end of the world. Like, I had fun. Okay. That's not all of what I am. And that's not all of what I represent or who I'm trying to be, but yeah, I had fun, but okay. And I think that's kind of, that is in a similar light to what you're talking about. Just that one thing, or that one insecurity, or that one thing that happened, or the, you know, nobody is defined by just these one dimensional things. Like, and that's why, and that's what I loved about the movie, because even like towards the beginning, where Molly realizes that all of these people who she thought were inferior intelligence wise or dumb or focused on all these other things were all going to good schools too. They all had, some of them had scholarships and stuff like that too. And just that realization that, damn, you know, I've been a bookworm and I've been doing all of this and stuff like that. And they're going to good schools and they got good opportunities too, you know? So it really just tried to not make anybody just one dimension or defined by one action or one thing. And I just can't harp on how awesome that was in this movie.
Yeah. Cause I mean, it felt like you see all the different groups of people, but it didn't feel like anyone was only in one clique. You know, it's kind of like everybody knew everybody, and especially Gigi, but like just how whatever party they went to or whatever crowd they were talking to in that moment, it was like, you know, everyone kind of just like talked to other groups too. It wasn't like a cliquey type of thing, which you see a lot in those high school movies, you know? And it was kind of interesting how they did sort of in a way flip the script and made the protagonist the one that was the more judgmental one, as opposed to normally how it's like, oh, everybody's judging me in this school. You know, she was the one that was judging them, thinking all you do is care about partying. And then AAA is the one who was like, yeah, we do like to do those things. But, you know, basically just saying school, we care about school. It's just not the only thing we care about. And I think that was that realization moment for her. And it was just kind of cool to see that, like, the one who's sort of the enemy or the, you know, the antagonist in a way is the one who sort of made her realize this new mission that she had. So it was just kind of cool to see that, and how, yeah, like everybody had layers to themselves, and there was nobody really that was unlikable as a character completely. There was something you liked about almost all the characters. So it was really cool.
Yeah. And on, And on top of that, too, going back to the scene you mentioned earlier, Justin, whenever, you know, she was getting the ride from that one girl and she was talking about how it's like she figured that the guys would make fun of her and say stupid things. But like what really ended up hurting her is when like other girls were saying the same yeah. things about her. And like it also goes to show that like that is something that's also universal. You know, there's a really great episode of the show Black-ish. Where they even get into how in the African-American culture, there's even levels of discrimination with how light or dark you are within yep. that culture. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then like when it comes to being a guy, you know, it's slowly been changing, but there still is some of those times where it's like, you know, having to not be emotional or just having to always be strong or just, you know, having to be a quote unquote man all the time and stuff like that. And like those are those issues that like all groups have in some way, shape or form. They all have those insecurities or those things that, you know, you expect other people to comment on them. But then, you know, people of the same group, then whenever they attack you for the same thing, you're just like, well, like it's like that. What are we doing thing? You know what I mean?
That is very like, true. That is super true, man. And I can, you know, as an African American, I do, that does resonate with me because it can hurt more when it comes from your own people. You know, sometimes it's one thing to experience like discrimination or experience like, even if it's just doubt, like people just not believing in you. It is one thing to have people kind of outside the circle, so to speak, say, blah, 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 he's not doing anything or ridicule or whatever the case may be. But you're right. It's another thing entirely when it's your own people doing it or you're just like, oh, man, or even sometimes your own family. Sometimes you're just like, man, dude, anybody but you guys. Why you guys? And so, yeah, man, I definitely that definitely resonates with me.
I mean, I haven't really experienced that to the same degree, but I mean, if you even look at the presidential elections back in the day with like Obama, where, you know, there was a running thread for a little while, like, is he black enough to count with it? And you would hear that from like black people and stuff like that. So it's just like one of those things where you're like, well, like what really defines that? And it's, you know, the way I have experienced that is, you know, like whether or not like based on some of the things I say or some of the things I do and stuff like that, like, am I like man enough to be doing certain things and stuff like that? You know, like, I mean, there have been tons of times in my life where my sexuality has been questioned, you know, because I don't really give a fuck if I say a man's attractive and, you know, then I'm attacked like, oh, well, are you sure you're straight? You know, those like questions yeah. like that. And it's always weird. It's weird when you just get questioned about those things for just the most innocuous things in the world. You know, so I can only imagine like to a small degree on what it'd be like, you know, to be like a black person and have somebody ask you if you're like have another black person ask you like, or say to you, like, are you black enough? You know, cause that's something I'll never have to worry about. Is anybody really asking me if I'm white enough for something?
I mean, true.
Same,
you know, but like I said, I have had certain aspects of my own personality questioned just because of, you know, some of the things I say. And like, I am at least at the age now for myself that I really don't give a fuck. Like, you know, if somebody questions my sexuality, because like, I mean, we were talking earlier before this podcast, just to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, when I was talking about how Timothy Oliphant is a very, very attractive man. I mean,
you did say that. Yes.
The man is a fucking Greek god statue, but like, I don't care now if I say something like that and somebody thinks I'm gay, because I am also like evolved into the enough, you know, culturally now to where somebody calling me gay is no longer an insult. You know, back in the day yeah. it was. Yeah. You know, for better or worse, it was. And I am glad that our culture has changed past that. But it's like, if that's really all you're going to sit there and attack me on at this point, I'm like, I don't give a fuck, because that still doesn't change the fact that Timothy Oliphant is a fucking beautiful man.
Nah, man, you are golly. You're just making me think of all sorts of examples, not even so much with the gay thing, which I mean, I can definitely understand. I'm like, I mean, come on, guys. If anybody knew you, they would just know you're not gay. And like you said, I'm glad that we are past the point to where most of the time that's not a problem or nobody's going to be like, are you gay in a negative connotation? Of course, it still happens, but you know, most people just aren't assholes to that degree, or at least, or maybe I just haven't ran into any at this point. You know, there might be some Cine fans out there like, oh, you're wrong about that. But definitely from the Black perspective, I definitely know what you're talking about, man. And, you know, that kind of stuff happens all the time. And people don't even realize they're doing it. Like, you know, and I'll try to make this story short, but I feel like it's important to say, just for people out there who may not have a sense of perspective. But like, I remember one particular time, and long story short, you know, I'm a wrestler, so I do these kind of motivational promos and stuff like that. My moniker's Live and Prove, so it's all about haha, you can do it, motivational speaking type of stuff, like a motivational speaker trapped in a wrestler almost. So I do these videos and I do these things, and it's always like self-help stuff. I'm really not religious. I don't go religious with any of that stuff. I'm never implying God or anything like that, because, you know, I may have fans that are non-believers and believers, and I don't want to alienate anybody. So that's kind of what I do. And it's just more about self-encouragement, self-growth. You can do it, set goals, et cetera, et cetera. You know, stuff that we all do. Well, anyway, I'm talking to this guy, right? And this was in Dallas. And I won't name any particular names or anything like that, but it's not really important who did it. But and the funny thing is that I don't even think the guy meant it that way. But I think he really thought he was being sincere, but it was a white guy. And he comes up to me and he goes, hey, man, I got this radio show, and I really think that you would be a good fit for this radio show because of all the kind of promos and motivational speaking stuff that you do. And I said, oh, okay, cool. And, you know, we were spitballing ideas, and I gave him some ideas and stuff like that. And he got me really excited about possibly doing this. And basically, he wanted me to kind of have just a radio segment where I talk about different things like that. Or at least that's what I thought he wanted. And then he kind of stops me as I'm spitballing these ideas. And he goes, well, you know, when I see you and I see you in the suit and I see you in the tie and everything like that, the first thing I think is Preacher. So I'm thinking that, like, on the radio spot, you can be on there and you can be like, oh, yes, it's Lawrence Tom with Jaston Taylor. And he starts like going into this mock Black Preacher kind of promo type of deal. And he's saying, that's kind of what I want you to do. That's kind of what I want you to. And the funny thing is that right away, dude, I was so angry. I mean, you couldn't tell. I didn't make that known, but I was so angry that he took everything that I did, everything that I do with those videos, all of that. And what he interpreted is Black guy in a suit equals outlandish, over the top preacher. And I know why he thought that. I know why that came to his head. And he really thought he was being genuine. He thought he was offering me something great. So, of course, I didn't do it. But I think that's just one example of that kind of stuff that happens. Like, you just get put in this box for no reason, just because, you know, people just have their labels. You know, so it's nice to see something like this film that challenges that notion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, how often are you getting a coming of age comedy that really makes you think about these type of things and still maintains it being a coming of age comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at this point, we might as well go into our dislikes and I'll start them. So one thing I did not like about this movie, and it is something of a trope that this movie did not overcome like it did a lot of these tropes, is the fact that, like, I liked the characters that they presented, but then at the same time, the way they portrayed the actual high schools did not seem real to me. Now, granted, I have not been in high school for a very, very long time, and it could have changed, but that seems to be something that a lot of schools or movies about school, they don't ever quite get right. Is the way that the high schools themselves operate, you know, like it always seems just super hyper, like exaggerated, you know, like kids, you know, skateboarding down the hallways and just the way that every, like, those aspects of it were. And just like the way it always makes it seem also that, like, kids just come and go to whatever classroom or room they need to go to whenever.
Yeah.
It really never feels like there's an actual class schedule. They just kind of go to whatever room they want to at that time. Right. And that's something that this movie does a little bit of too. And it's just, it's always so weird to me when movies do that. Like, I get it because that aspect of it is not really what they're focusing on. But when you're when you're having these characters and in these situations that do feel real, and then you juxtapose it over this just hyperbolistic high school that's just an amalgamation of every version of high school you've ever seen, it is still jarring to me. And the other scene that really just kind of seemed a little out of place was whenever they smashed into graduation in the car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that seemed a little out of place for this movie. Like, most of the other crazy situations they found themselves and stuff like that, I felt were more grounded. And then all of a sudden, for like 30 seconds, it becomes a Dukes of Hazzard movie. Just felt a little weird to me. It didn't quite mesh with everything else. And so those are two big examples of something that just really didn't quite sit right with me, especially considering how smart the rest of the movie was. Those two elements just really, really stood out to me as something that just felt out of place with the rest of the narrative that was presented.
Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, yeah. I'm supposed to now say, Heather, your turn.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I would say like I would have liked more scenes with their favorite teacher that they had, Miss Fine. I would have liked more scenes with her and more scenes with the principal. And also even Amy's parents, Lisa Kudrow and Will Forte, they were really funny, but they were not on the screen for very long. So I could have stood to have a little bit more of those characters in the story. And maybe, I mean, just preference wise, it would have been kind of cool to see, like, at the end of the movie, maybe a quick couple of minute look into the future of, you know, what they were like and what happened with them after their first year out of high school, you know, because Amy's going off to this other country for like a whole year, and Molly's going off to Yale, I want to say. So, you know, just kind of seeing what happened in their lives in that year that they got out of high school, and did it turn out how they thought it would, or just kind of a quick peek into, you know, are they still friends at that point? You know, are they dating anybody at that point? That would have been a kind of cool thing to see at the end of it, but it wasn't necessary. It just kind of would have been cool to see that. But honestly, that's really kind of, yeah. And I guess you're right. Like, there's like those random moments that you're like, does it really fit? But at the same time, overall, like, there, it was, especially for comedies these days, I feel like a lot of times it's hard to find something that's funny in a new way. And so I just really appreciate that this one did that, and it didn't have to do a lot of putting certain types of people down, or, you know, putting down really anyone, so to speak. And I appreciated that they did that with this movie. So yeah, those are really my only things. Just using some of the side characters a little bit more, especially because so many of them are just really funny, and there could have been some really good funny moments with those characters more.
I mean, I'll kind of agree with you on that, with especially Lisa Kudrow, Will Arnett, because
I think it was Will Forte.
Yes, you're right. Will Forte. Will Arnett is the other guy. That's not in this movie. I didn't mean to imply that he was in this movie. He is a different guy. No, because those scenes were just incredibly, incredibly funny. The ones they did show.
Mm-hmm.
With those aspects. I agree.
Those were the scene, and I won't spoil the context of it, but there's a scene with the panda and them, and that is just ridiculously, ridiculously funny. And I mean, even the whole dinner scene, where, I mean, it's not even a dinner scene, but the whole setup for a dinner scene where, you know, they've got a theme for all the meals. And it really just feels like Will Forte was just literally just off the top of his head saying things. I don't feel like those were in the script. It felt like he just was channeling an awkward dad trying to do his best in a situation that he didn't quite understand, but was still, you know, trying to be supportive of it, and just still, you know, being that guy with how he was naming the foods, it just really felt like it was just made up by him in a very beautifully comedic moment.
It totally worked. Yeah, for sure.
Where I disagree with you, though, is the ending. I really thought the ending was great, where it was just them, you know, saying goodbye to each other, with just doing their best to not utterly break down. Yeah. And then them just being like, fuck this, let's go get pancakes. Like, I thought that was cool. Just a spectacular way to end that movie. Like, I did not want any more than that.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I did like how they ended it, but it was just like, I've said before, I'm such a person of, you know, I want to see that the happy ending overall kind of thing. And not, it was a happy ending, but, you know, just kind of like that closure of, oh, good, they are still friends after high school. That's great. So it's just more of a preference of like, it would have been cool, but it wasn't necessary because it did end well regardless. But yeah, I get what you mean.
I was about to say, how is that not happy? They're getting pancakes. You're never sad true. When you're eating pancakes.
That's true.
Pancakes are one of the happiest foods ever. Unless you're eating pancakes with Justin and he gets to the syrup before you, then you're sad because you're out of syrup. Guaranteed. No matter how much syrup was there, you were out of syrup because Justin got to it first. And I'm speaking on just several just examples of him doing that to me and making my pancake time sad.
Oh, no.
It was probably all examples. Yeah. I have a syrup issue.
Your weakness is the syrup.
Mm-hmm. It's my kryptonite.
Especially if it's a hot maple syrup.
Oh, God. The hot maple. Oh, gosh. That's the best. I mean, I'm not proud of it. But hey, there's more complexity to me as a person. Don't just judge me on the syrup.
Yep. That's what I always say.
All I'll say is I have become a default at IHOP of using butter pecan. And I still to this day only use butter pecan just because I am just so used to there not being any hot maple that I would have to always default to butter pecan that it's just now what I do to this day.
Wow. I classically conditioned you. I'm so sorry.
Pretty much. Like I can't even associate the International House of Pancakes with maple syrup because of you. I'm just conditioned to this point, to this day, to just always think that IHOP does not have any hot maple syrup anymore.
Damn. That's very traumatic, man. I'm so sorry. You're a frequent at IHOP.
And I mean, but don't get me wrong, that butter pecan is some delicious, delicious shit. But Justin, go ahead. What did you not like about the movie Booksmart?
All right. So what don't I like about butter pecan? I mean,
butter pecan.
I'm sorry. The movie. What do I not like about the movie? Well, honestly, man, if there's anything that I didn't, there was nothing I hated, nothing that really made me cringe or anything like that. Just if anything, just some of the narrative things at the end, I was totally going to mention the crash through the wall with the car. Yeah, that was, like you said, that was just a bit over the top. Also, her being able to get out of jail or confinement, or not, she wasn't in jail, but whatever that was, I just don't know if you would have gotten out that quickly after everything that happened that night and how she got picked up and everything. I don't know if you could have just gotten out of there that quick. So there were just some things where things needed to happen so that they could get to the graduation. But yeah, I was kind of like, she would have been in there a while. She would have missed that graduation. Other than that, the only other thing that I can think that just kind of made me kind of question it, and I only did for a second, but when the Ryan character, the one that Amy liked, when her and Nick, when she sees that scene in the pool, when with her and Nick and everything, and it's a big shock that ironically, the people that they both had crushes on actually were kind of feeling each other and together and stuff like that. The only thing I kept thinking was, okay, is shouldn't they have somehow known about this? Like with Nick being being as popular as he was, you got social media, you got and her, and I know he was like, what was it, like a class president, and Molly was the vice president, right?
Switch
so it.
It
was just Okay. They, okay. Yeah. He was vice. She, that's right. He was vice. She was the president. So that means that they're interacting with each other far more than just other, you know, normal students and stuff like that, because they're in extracurricular stuff together. So it was a little, I'm not saying it was impossible to believe. It wasn't like, oh, this is stupid. I wasn't like that, but it's a little hard to believe that they wouldn't have known that. You know, I just find it hard to believe that they wouldn't have somehow known that, especially with social media and the way kids talk in high school, man, unless it's just different, you know, now, because, you know, like you said, we're removed from high school. So maybe it's just different. But I just found that like, I think they would have known about this, or I don't know if that would have been a surprise. So, but other than that, that was the only thing in the movie that I questioned per se. Other than that, loved it.
Well, see, for me, for that moment, I didn't take it as that they were like dating before then. To me, it came across as a,
they hooked up right
as
then.
It was a, yeah, like that was a spur of the moment at the party hookup.
Okay. And see, that's what I kind of, I guess, resolved in my mind is what it was. But when he was talking to Molly, he did kind of purposely go, hey, let me go check on what's going on in that pool. It kind of seemed like an excuse, like he was trying to get to her, like, oh, let me go check on the pool and see, make sure these people aren't, you know, killing themselves or something. And he kind of walked away from her and he went right to her. So I don't know. I just got the impression like, was this just tonight? Was this just tonight? And it probably was. You could totally explain it away like that. It was a party that, you know, they, our two characters got there late. So maybe that budded and that happened. I mean, that is totally possible, which is why I didn't have a super problem with it. But, you know, I did. There was a second or two where I questioned it, but nah, I'll buy that. It was the first, it was just a chance thing at the party.
Yeah, for me, like I said, I took it as that was an at the party hookup, because even if it was him being like, oh, hey, I need to go check what's going on over at this pool, you know, knowing that that girl's over there. I mean, to me, you know, having been like at a party or something like that before, like if you're kind of feeling somebody and, you know, even if you're hosting a party, you'll kind of find a reason to maybe make sure that you circle back around to the person just to see, you know, if a moment's developing or something like that, especially in a party like that. So, I mean, to me, that's what just what made sense. And so I guess that's why I didn't question it, is that, you know, that just seems like that would be something that you would do in that instance if you, that's what your goal was or something like that.
Yeah. And they were, and I mean, they were, everybody was drinking and having a good time and stuff like that. So yeah, like you said, it's totally possible. And but that was the only thing I was just kind of like, yeah, I just had that thought, but no, the only thing that really just got me was the stuff at the end, just the crash, the gate crash. And, hey, we know that this guy is the strangler. Okay. Can she get out of, can she just leave now? Okay, great. Thank you. All right, on to graduation, you know. Yeah, but other than that, it was cool.
Yeah, but the scene they had with the wanted guy earlier in the movie was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, that was great, actually.
Yeah.
And it was very ironic that how he was talking, and then he actually winds up being, oh, that was, yeah, that was great, you know.
And I guess that's why I let the whole her getting out of jail thing slide, is because it tied back to a scene that was just really, really funny. So I just didn't care that that part didn't make sense based on what it was full circling to. I just, my mind was just like, nope, fuck it, let it go.
Which is perfectly fine, because no, honestly, I'm not saying remove any of that. If, because the scene where they are in the car with him was great. That scene is gold, and it was funny, and it was ironic when you see him on that poster wanted, and you're like, oh damn. So it did what it needed to do. I mean, I definitely was like, oh damn, when I saw him on that poster. So it did what it needed to do overall.
Which, that was one of those scenes that I'm glad that they showed in the trailer, but the trailer didn't ruin.
Yeah.
Like, they showed in the trailer that they're like, you know, accosting somebody in a car with their hair pulled in front of their face like that. And I like that they showed that, but like I said, it didn't ruin the scene. They didn't give away the elements of that scene that were truly funny. They did not give those away in this movie. And that was something I really, that makes that moment, like, even, I don't want to say more special, but more prominent, is that you get the hint of it in the trailer, but you get the payoff in the movie. And that's the way all comedy trailers should be.
I agree with
that. Yeah, most trailers, honestly, most trailers should be like that, I think. I mean, you're making a great point, and it's always better when the payoff happens like that in the film. You see the preview, but the real payoff is seeing what that scene is about and what the point of it is. You know, kind of like the mime scene in Pokemon. You know, you saw it in a preview, but it was the totality of it that was really important, or really rewarding, I should say. Same thing with this scene, I think.
And another scene that they hint at in the trailer that they really expand upon that's truly funny is their interactions with the character's parents, with the Will Forte and Lisa Kudrow, when they, you know, because in the trailer they do the whole like cranberry facial thing, and you know, the parents saying like, oh, we don't have to know all the lingo, and it's a funny moment in the trailer. But the totality of that scene, like I said, with Will Forte just naming the foods randomly and just everything about that whole scene is what truly makes that whole scene great.
We made devil eggs with graduation caps. Like, it was funny, dude. He was so funny, man.
But one other thing that I want to mention before we go on, and as soon as I started that sentence, I completely forgot what I was going to say. So let's just move on to our scores and recommendations. So, Justin, what's your score and recommendation?
We'll just pretend you made the greatest point in the world and really solidified this podcast. So, wow, that was a great point. Yeah, you did it. You did it, excellent, sir. So I'm going to take a page out of Sterling's book. Normally, I give my score and then recommend. So I'm going to try it your way. And if I hate it, I'm going back to my old way. So, yes, I'm definitely going to recommend this movie. I know right now we're in the summer movie hoopla right now, and there are all these other options and there are all these other choices of movies that you can see. You know, Avengers is still out, Aladdin just came out, there are all these other movies that you could go check out, but you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't go spend some time with Booksmart. Don't underestimate this film. It is funny. It is very moving. The acting is very, very good. And you have a debut of a director who I think is going to have a promising future in the director's chair. So I would definitely recommend this. If you're somebody that likes these types of movies, if you were a fan of Superbad, or you're a fan of those party type of movies, like, this is your movie. Don't worry about, oh, male cast, female cast, or any of that stuff. Forget all that stuff. Just go in. It's going to be funny. You're going to laugh. It's going to be fun. If you're older, it's going to take you back to some times. You're going to remember some times in high school. And if you're younger, I mean, you're already there. You're going to just, you know, you will be watching things that already feel familiar to you. So I definitely recommend this film. And that's just the main thing I want to say. Don't underestimate this. Don't just look past it as you look at the list of summer blockbusters that there are that are available to go see. Go see this one too. You won't be sorry making this a part of your schedule. As far as a score, I'm going to give this 90. Dang, 90 what though? 90 cars crashing abruptly through a gate so that we can get to graduation on time and tell everybody goodbye out of 100. This is really, really good. I really enjoyed this. Bravo and kudos to Olivia Wilde for an impressive directorial debut.
So I do have to ask, Justin, how did it feel doing a recommendation first?
It a little uncomfortable at first, but, you know, I wiggled in and I don't know, it kind of fits. So maybe we'll do it again for the next one.
I'll be honest, I kind of liked it. I liked the switch up there.
Go for it, Heather.
It's now your turn. So which one are you going to do?
Okay. I'm going to switch it up too, because why not? So I definitely 100% recommend this movie. I mean, and it's not even just for girls, you know, it's not just like, oh, take your best girlfriends to go see it. Literally anybody will like this movie. I mean, in the theater I was in, there was a guy probably like mid 40s who was laughing louder than anybody in that entire theater at almost everything. Like, he was sitting down front row, like other side of the theater from where I was, and I could just hear him as if he were right next to me. He was laughing so hard. So it's a movie that everybody will find funny in some aspect. And it's also, it's clever enough to be, all the jokes land. There's nothing that they try to make funny that's not funny in this. And I just, that's so rare to do with comedies and this type of script of what it's about and what they're going to do with it. And they made it fresh, or Olivia Wilde made it fresh, you know, and it just, it was so good. It was a really great movie. So I definitely recommend it if you want a funny movie to see. You'll have a good time with it. I give it 88 out of 100 end of year high school click parties.
So for me, I'll preface this by saying that this movie is probably one of the closest times I've come to a movie that is very near and dear to my heart as far as recent releases go, with a movie called Brigsby Bear. And because Brigsby Bear to me is one of the most heartfelt and original movies you'll see in a long time. And where this movie really kind of challenges Brigsby is the fact of how heartfelt and genuine this movie was. Now, it wasn't 100% original, but it really had the moments of genuine heart and emotion and just connection that you really want to see in a movie like this. And so it really hit home those elements in the right ways. So like I said, the heart of this movie just really reminded me a lot of why I loved Brigsby Bear. And that's just a great thing, because if you haven't seen Brigsby Bear, do yourself a favor, like Jasmine was saying earlier about seeing this movie, and also watch Brigsby Bear, because that's just one of those movies that came out of nowhere and just hits you right in the soul with its message and how it does things. And I feel like in a lot of ways, this movie does that too. This is very much a movie that, like Justin said, you would be doing a disservice to yourself if you don't watch it for so many reasons. The cast, the story, the directing prowess of Olivia Wilde for it. It's very much a movie that should be watched as soon as you possibly can. Like, this is a very, very busy time for movies. I mean, it came out the same weekend as Brightburn and Aladdin. And the next weekend, you've got Ma, you've got Rocket Man, you've got Godzilla, you know. And that's like six big-ish movies all within the span of a week, you know, and it's very easy for a movie like this to get lost in the shuffle. But if any of these movies so far should not get lost in the shuffle, it is very much this movie, because it has carved itself a niche that it fits in perfectly and it should be watched. So my score will be, and it will kind of poke fun at what Heather just said, because I apparently found some people that did not like this movie at all, because I will give this 90 random old couple sitting next to me walking out of this movie 30 minutes in because they could not stand it and its humor. What? Which, wow. It sucks to be them. It sucks, wow, to be them, because they lost out on it out of 100.
That is disappointing.
Yes.
Your score is not, but that story is disappointing.
Yes, because this was an elderly couple. They were easily both in their late 60s, and they were sitting right next to me. And, you know, at just one point, I want to say it might have been a little more than half an hour in. There's a scene where they're watching porn in a lift. And
oh yeah,
the old lady just turned to her husband and they whispered some stuff. And the next thing I know, they're fucking gone. Man. And that was a very funny scene.
And yes, that was a hilarious scene.
I mean, maybe that's what it was. Maybe they were just like, this is too fucking funny. Like, I can't handle how funny this scene is. I need to leave.
That's the only explanation for that. Yep.
I don't think that will ever be me. Like, I'm trying to think, will I ever get to that point? Like, where I'm walking out of a movie because of its content like that. Like
it's too inappropriate or something?
Yeah. Like, well, I'm lying. I've walked out of a movie before because I thought it was stupid. But, Geely, I walked out of that. I couldn't finish it.
I've walked out of one movie, and I did end up finishing it later. That was The Ring 2. When it got to the scene of the deers just fucking up that car randomly, and then the scene right after that is the little boy in the bathtub, and then the water just floods to the ceiling and all that other shit. I said to my group of friends, I was like, fuck this, and I walked the fuck out of that movie.
Okay. So maybe we are those people. I guess in the right situation.
I do think it's
because it was stupid, not because it was like inappropriate content.
True though. Go ahead.
But that's the thing, is they could also be thinking the same thing though. You know what I mean? To them it could have been stupid. True. The thing is also, this was what? When I did that was how long ago was that? That'd be 15-ish years ago. So I definitely really haven't done that since.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I can make it all the way through Venom, I'm sure I can make it through The Ring too if it came out now.
Yeah. It's kind of like our job now. So maybe that does change perspective a little bit, because we're like, whatever it is, I'm going to stomach it so I can talk about it. But I don't know. But as far as like being disgusted, I mean, we all watched Irreversible together. And if that wasn't enough to disgust us, I just don't know if anything will. And I watch foreign movies all the time, and man, I mean, in other countries, man, censorship is just not what it is here. So I don't know. I feel like now I'm so desensitized, I don't know if anything would ever disgust me enough to walk out. And like you said, they could have just been like, okay, this is dumb, let's leave. But if they were disgusted, I don't see myself ever being that person. I think even as an old person, I'll just be sitting in the movie like enjoying it. I'm pretty sure. I hope so, at least. I like to think so.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. It takes a lot to disgust me. Like, it takes a lot to disgust me. But I mean, at the same time, there are things that are disgusting that are in movies that I still don't like. And it's not because of it's a disgust factor. It's typically just how it's used. Like, you know, like a humor in something, you know, like when it's like shit humor, when it's literally about shit. I don't see the point in it. It is disgusting because of its subject matter, but it's just not something that it's going to be like a once in a millennia time to get me to truly laugh at something like that now.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. It just that kind of stuff, just you just kind of roll your eyes at it now. And it's like, okay, you know, I totally get you on that, though. Yeah, I haven't laughed at anything like that. Shoot, I don't know if I've ever have, but yeah, I haven't found that kind of crap funny in a long time, man. I agree with you on that.
I think the last time I laughed at something like that was American Wedding, when Stifler eats the dog shit and says it's a truffle. And it wasn't necessarily because of that. It was the lady he was in the scene with, like, wanting him to describe how good the truffle was because she thought it was a truffle. Like, I think that's what made it funny for me, was not the actual act of the shit or anything like that. It was the surrounding context it was in is what made it funny to me. And I do feel kind of sad that I literally just admitted to a lot of people that I laughed at something from American Wedding.
This is on recording, everyone will now know.
You're just revealing your layers. I guess Booksmart did that to you. Now you're traumatized, you know, with maple syrup, and now this. I mean, man, dude, you're opening up tonight, man.
I'll be damned. Like, I might not watch it now or anything like that, but man, the time American Wedding came out, that was my shit. Thought it was just one of the funniest movies ever.
Really?
Yes. When it came out, it was my shit. And if I watch it now, I do find it hard for me to like turn away from it. I don't necessarily think it's funny anymore. Like, I'm not laughing at it, but I still find myself slightly compelled to watch it because it did make me laugh so hard back in the day.
What about the other American Pie movies?
For what they were, I thought they were good for the time. But
yeah,
for whatever reason, American Wedding, I have more of a connection with than the other two. I don't know why. I cannot tell you why at all. And it makes no sense, because out of all three of those, it is by far the worst. But for whatever reason, I think it could be because I saw American Wedding in theaters. I didn't see the other two in theaters. And
yeah, that could be it.
And maybe that is why. I don't know. But If it's on one of the movie channels, I'll watch it. And I do hate myself while I do it. Like, I do sit there and watch that movie and kind of ponder what kind of life I'm living, because I'm definitely not being my best self.
And then you go get some pancakes and you make up for it. It's fine.
No, but I'll still sit there and watch it, though, from beginning to end. And I don't fucking know why, but I do. It's just, I don't know. But other than that, guys, thank you for listening to the podcast. Check us out on www.cinemaslayers.com. Check us out on cinema_slayers at Twitter and Instagram. Check us out on Facebook at Cinema Slayers. Check us out on any of the podcasting places you want. We do have a lot of bonus content coming your way through these coming weeks to kind of give you a hint of some of the stuff you will be getting in the future if you do join our Patreon, or what you'll be getting roughly a month later on the regular feed, because we don't want to leave anybody out no matter what. So just check all that out, guys. We'll have more announcements on it later, but you'll want to check out Sterling versus the World. It's going to be people making me argue for or against movies that I may love and or hate. And I'm going to be having a guest on it, and they're going to be just making my life difficult, and hopefully I'll make theirs difficult at the same time. So check that out when it comes out, definitely. And that should be coming up soon. We'll have more announcements about that later. And other than that, guys, remember, according to Justin, Moon Knight is a Best Picture winner. Yeah. That was the worst one.